Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Just enter the offer code VERBAL, that's V-E-R-B-A-L, at checkout and get 10% off.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here, Dan Rubenstein over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com, as always, is the email. Find us on Facebook, on FanCred, on Twitter, on Instagram, and most importantly, on iTunes at itunes.com/solidverbal. If you'd like to write a review, rate the show, or just plain old subscribe, you can do it right there. Again, it's at itunes.com/solidverbal. Dan, we've got a special guest here tonight.
I'm very excited for this, Ty. I am worked up. I'm ready to run through a wall. That's my favorite phrase of yours these past 3 years. Ready to run through a wall, because it has changed a lot, your feeling of James Franklin, who is not our guest tonight.
Right.
But I like that phrase and how it has shifted in your head.
It has shifted. Now, we do have another coach, though, right?
This is true. We have, is this our first repeat coach appearance?
We've had Herb Hand on the program, but he's not a head coach.
Oh, no, that's true. Yes, this is our first second appearance by a head coach. Tom Herman, University of Houston.
Yeah.
Coming back, Are we going to say it? Are we just all thinking the same thing? Solid Verbal bump?
Look, it's shown real world results.
Absolutely, it has. Houston goes 13-1, and they beat Florida State in, it was the Peach Bowl? Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl, yeah.
Not a bad debut effort from Tom Herman. He was really, really good when he came on the show a year ago. Unfortunately, were you on your honeymoon?
I might have been on the honeymoon, yeah. It was around that time.
I think you were enjoying... God, I don't even remember where you went to Jamaica.
That's right.
Yes, you went to Jamaica. But yeah, Tom Herman has a terrific season. Greg Ward has a really nice year at quarterback. And the defense under a first-year coordinator for Houston, obviously, Todd Orlando, showed a lot of flashes. And, you know, a New Year's Bowl champion in year one coming from the AAC, which looked deeper and better than it ever had. Huge, huge year. For Tom Herman. Very excited to talk to him.
A couple things that jump out to me about Herman's first year in Houston. The first is obviously 13 wins. You beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl. That's going to give you some amount of momentum. There's no way around that. But what's really cool, what I really like, you see it in the recruiting game now. He did really well.
Best class,
at least that I could find, if you go by the 24/7 composite rankings, best class since like 2002. He has found a way to make Houston look cool.
Yeah.
And that's no knock on Houston. Houston, I'm sure, is a great place, but compared to the Ohio States, the Notre Dames, the Alabamas, the bigger traditional blue blood national championship caliber programs, Houston's not really in that conversation. So for him to go down there and get the grill and make it all look like it's up and coming, that takes a fair amount of genius to pull that off and tie it in with on-field results. So I give him a lot of credit for selling the package of Houston as something that top recruits might want to come and be part of.
Yeah. And it is a great job in that if you're going to coach at a non-power five school, it's so that area is so talented and rich with talent at the high school level that it makes your life a little bit easier. Boise State, for instance, the big program of late that has done it year in and year out, does have to rely on sort of finding diamonds in the rough, not necessarily getting the talented kids coming out of high school, recruiting California, recruiting Washington, recruiting Oregon, there's not much in Idaho, but recruiting Idaho. Houston has to go to Houston to find a very intriguing area in terms of nearby talent. So a ton of advantages there. And you're right, they sign a really nice signing class. Ed Oliver is the big standout. He's a defensive tackle, a big dude inside who should, you know, by all means get into that rotation probably this fall. And it adds credibility, I think, when we have this eternal question of can a non-Power 5 school sneak into the top four, sneak into the playoff discussion later on? the big thing with Houston is they're playing big teams, so they will get the attention that comes with beating a big team early on and a reputation that comes with that. And with the conference itself getting more and more respect with what we saw Temple do last year, with what we saw Memphis do, with Navy, and bringing in talent, not just through recruiting, but they will now have in 2017 a five-star quarterback transfer in Kyle Allen. So these are familiar names. It takes time for schools like Boise State or Northern Illinois to develop that awareness. Houston's doing it pretty quickly, and Tom Herman's done a great job in, you know, getting the grill, getting attention. People are familiar with Houston. The program has been very open for media, and I think they're doing it the right way. It'll be interesting to see. We talked about the test case for 2016. My years are still screwed up.
Yeah.
Being BYU. And BYU, obviously, an independent team, but their schedule is, to put it lightly, rigorous.
Yeah.
BYU's 2016 schedule. So if BYU were to run the table, it's a relatively easy decision. But a team like Houston, playing a big team in the non-conference as they are, recruiting and building that awareness early, the argument, I think, is, I don't think it's a quick shift, but I think you start have to thinking about shift and if a non-Power 5 team can sneak in the right circumstances.
When you're at a non-Power 5 school and you open it as wide open as Houston has been to the media, you're playing without a net. You need to be successful. Otherwise, things could come off the rails pretty quickly. Obviously, 13-1, I think, would qualify as successful. We're going to have to see now how he takes that and progresses the program forward. As you mentioned, we've talked about the opening week of the 2016 season, which is just loaded to the gills. But September 3rd, NRG Stadium, the NERG, basically a home game for Houston against Oklahoma.
Yes.
Oklahoma is going to be pretty loaded as well. So that will be an early bellwether just in terms of how far this program has progressed in the offseason and whether or not they can compete on that same level. They've got some other teams on here that I think are formidable. Louisville's a non-conference game.
One of the better young quarterbacks in college football, Louisville, yeah.
Certainly upward mobility if you're Tom Herman. A lot to be excited about if you are a Cougars fan. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole slate of really good questions for him here tonight.
Yes. No, I'm curious about, listen, every single job that came open or may have come up open was followed by maybe Tom Herman.
Yeah.
And certainly can be a distraction. Maybe Tom Herman.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how he deals with that, dealt with that. Obviously, the school, they gave him a raise. They've invested in the facilities and the program as a whole. And it's also one of those things where if you have a coach who doesn't get interest from other places, if you're a fan of a team that's not a so-called blue blood of college football, and you have a coach that's not getting interest from bigger schools or from the NFL, that's the problem. Therein lies the problem at a certain point. I mean, there's certain times where a coach has been at a place so long, it's not even considered. But, you know, for a younger coach like Herman is, and to have the success immediately and the pedigree coaching for Ohio State at his previous stop, I think it's a compliment, not just to the job he did, but the whole team. It's a great story.
All right, Dan. Well, without further ado, let's get to Coach Tom Herman. But first, a word from our sponsor. First and foremost, guys, March Madness is almost underway. You're probably out there scrambling to figure out which teams are good, which teams aren't. And yet it doesn't matter because Susan from The Office, she's going to win anyway. She's going to. So instead, focus your energy on something that matters. Focus your attention on figuring out how to get a good clean shave at an affordable price. By the way, if you like Cinderella stories, a startup by the name of Harry's is taking on all the razor giants out there. They're winning over guys like me and you and my father-in-law and some of my friends, winning us over left and right because it'll give you the best shave you've had in a long time. The blades are super sharp. They provide a close, comfortable shave 100% of the time. When you buy Harry's, you invest in quality. You get German-engineered five-blade cartridges that give you a close, comfortable shave, no cuts or burns, quality guaranteed to get a full refund if you're not happy. You also get great prices. You get factory direct prices. Cut out the middleman. It'll ship right to your door. They'll sell you your blades at half the price of the leading brands. And Proof. You can invest in Proof. Over 1 million guys have already made the switch. Thousands more switch every day. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades, which you can get them for half the price at harrys.com. Right now, Harry's gives you a starter set. It's an amazing deal. Just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shaving cream, and 3 razor blades. Harry's, though, doesn't like to discount because their prices are already low. But we've worked out a special offer for our listeners. Right now, they're going to give you $5 off your first order with the promo code SOLIDVERBAL. SOLIDVERBAL, all one word, no spaces. Stop overpaying for a great shave. Go to harrys.com right now. That's harrys.com, harrys.com. Enter code SOLIDVERBAL at checkout. Get $5 off your first order. We're also brought to you today by our good friends over at Squarespace. Look, building a website can be tough. Even if you do know your way around coding, creating something that looks good and works well, it's a time-consuming affair. Whether you're doing it for a business site, a portfolio, a restaurant, whatever else, in this day and age, you need a website. Why not use Squarespace? Squarespace makes it easy to build beautiful websites without even breaking a sweat. Dan's using it for danrubenstein.com at this very second. Squarespace provides you a simple, powerful, beautiful website that looks professionally designed regardless of your skill level. No coding required. Don't worry about any of that. Not only does Squarespace provide you with intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create your website, with Squarespace, they also have state-of-the-art technology that powers your site, ensures things like security and stability, and you know you can trust in Squarespace for your website needs when millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world trust them too. You cannot beat the ease and simplicity of Squarespace. They'll give you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website to boot. What are you waiting for? Start a trial right now with no credit card required. Build your website today. When you sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code VERBAL. It's V-E-R-B-A-L to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for The Solid Verbal. We thank Squarespace for supporting the show. We hope you'll support them as well. All right, Dan, we are joined by an esteemed coach. You know him well. He was on our program last year. We're very pleased to have him back. The coach at Houston, Mr. Tom Herman. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me back.
Congrats on a great season. How is life?
Life is hectic, but it's good. Life's always better when you win. So it is. It's definitely hectic, and we're moving on to 2016. But excited about the direction we're headed.
So, what is the reason that you and your system and I guess just your general philosophy fit in so well and had such instant success at Houston?
Well, one thing we did, we hired really good assistant coaches. And I think any good head coach will tell you that if you don't get that right, then you're facing an uphill battle all the time. And we've got the best staff in America. And by staff, I include our strength staff and head strength coach Anthony McKnight and our operations crew. I mean, it's just as good as I've been around, as being selfless, being aligned, and really, you know, carrying the message of our culture into the meeting rooms. And then I think, you know, really we were blessed in terms of we had an older group, a senior group of guys that normally when you take a program over, the older group is maybe the last to kind of buy in. You get a lot of the pushback from them because they're just so used to doing things a certain way for so long. And we were truly blessed. We had a core group of seniors like Landon Roberts and Kenneth Farrow and Adrian McDonald and Alex Cooper that were, you know, from day one, they ripped their chest open, handed us their hearts and said, coach us. And, you know, we did some crazy things at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, and we were harder on them than anybody had ever been in their lives. And they didn't blink. They didn't question. They didn't evaluate. They didn't ask, you know, why we were doing things. They just kind of blindly trusted us. And I think kind of knew deep down that we were going to take them someplace special.
What was it about the Houston job, looking back, that you think pulled you in the most? Why did you end up there?
Well, I knew the administration was committed to winning. And by administration, I mean, you know, Dr. Renu Couture, our chancellor and president, and on down to the athletic director who hired me, and Mac Rhodes, and then his number two assistant, Hunter Juracek, who's now become the athletic director here, that the commitment, both from a facility standpoint and a resource standpoint, was there. And having spent most of my adult life in the state of Texas, coaching in the state of Texas, and then obviously I've every stop I've been, I've always recruited the state of Texas. So knowing the city of Houston and the quality of high school football that's played here and the kind of recruit that we could attract, coupled with the commitment from our administration, I thought that it was a bit of a sleeping giant.
Your name came up with a number of coaching vacancies this past offseason, which I assume on one level is flattering and a very good look for what Houston just accomplished. But on another, it can lead to confusion and misinformation with both, I guess, recruiting and program perception. So how have you been able to deal with that attention?
Well, we had an historic signing class, you know, the highest ranked group of five signing class in the history of college football, which goes to show you that kids often listen to people that they trust and they listen to the truth and not just people that are nameless, faceless, in fact, you know, courageless people behind a computer screen or a smartphone. And so I just told them the truth. I told our team, you know, and trust me, you know, at that point, I'd been on the job about 11 months and told them I hadn't lied to them up until that point, and I wasn't planning on it going forward, and that everything I've said we were going to do or get for them or you know, it was going to be a consequence for a certain action. We followed up on every single thing, and I said, if there's something that you need to know, certainly come ask, and I'll be very honest with you, but, you know, there's nothing that we need to talk about right now, and that was the same with recruits, was that I really thought in my heart of hearts that our conference has definitely separated itself from the rest of the non-Power 5 conferences and in terms of our quality of play, such that, you know, if you win the American Athletic Conference now, you're going to go to a New Year's Six bowl game the way the system is set up. And so I really feel like the path to a New Year's Six bowl game is much more attainable here than some mid-level Power 5 job, and that it would take something ridiculously extraordinary to get me away from here, and that was the truth. And so it was an easy sell.
What is ridiculously extraordinary? Because you seem very, very happy and thrilled. You have a grill in your mouth. I'm assuming not right now. But what is? You seem very happy, which is not something you always see with college football coaches. So what is ridiculously extraordinary?
Well, I think it would have to be a situation where something went wrong here, where the administration decreased maybe their commitment level or the resources that we plan on having didn't show up for whatever reason. I think that would be the only, you know, that would be ridiculously extraordinary, you know, if some of the things that are in the works right now did not come to fruition, which I can't foresee happening.
And every college football coach, no matter the level, is extraordinarily competitive. You just came off of a terrific season and you win a very public bowl game over a national championship program. Are you satisfied with the perceived ceiling that a non-Power 5 conference team has, that ceiling of only going to a New Year's Six game and nothing beyond the way the system is set up?
I don't think that perception exists. I think you look at our schedule and where our preseason ranking is, you know, I would challenge you, much like I have other reporters that have asked me that question. I would argue that we're probably, what, be top 10, top 15 at least in the preseason polls. And
sure,
last time I checked, we'll play a top 5, top 10 team. And if you win them all, and with our schedule, our non-conference schedule, we've got Louisville at home. They'll be, you know, they're an 8-win football team that's only getting better. Mm-hmm. And the American Athletic Conference kind of being in the kind of the purgatory of in between a true group of five and a Power 5 money that, you know, I would imagine if you win them all with our schedule and our preseason ranking, that I don't,
yeah.
I would argue that ceiling absolutely does not exist. Now, you know, our mantra is to be 1-0 all the time, so we're not worried about winning them all. But when you ask me an overall philosophical question such as that, I would argue the same if we were talking about Boise State or Memphis or Temple. If you start in the top 15 and you're playing a top five team to open the season, and you've got another power five team that might be a top 25, top 30 team, and you run the table, I would imagine you're going to be in the playoff. I can't imagine that not being the case.
What are the advantages of coaching at a place like a Houston as opposed to a bigger place like an Ohio State?
I would say that our guys play really hard. I think that we have, for whatever reason, we've done a great job, and the previous staff has done a great job of recruiting young men that have probably been a bit under-recruited and have probably lived their whole athletic life with a chip on their shoulder. And so our guys play really, really hard. And I think that is one of the really, really unique things about maybe it's just us at Houston, or maybe it's a non-Power 5 thing too, or maybe it's just the culture we've created. I'd like to think it's a combination of all the things. But our guys play extremely, extremely hard and physical because I know that I believe that they think that that's probably been their only chance for success throughout life.
Well, it worked. 13 wins this past season. But as a coach, what is your barometer for success? 13 wins isn't bad, but how do you, as the head of the program, look to see how things are going and check off the boxes to know, yes, this is where we're supposed to be. No, this is not.
If we are competing for our conference championship in the month of November and December, we're graduating our kids each and every semester at a record rate, which each semester that I've been here, we've increased that, and it's become a new record. And we're very active in the great city of Houston, and our guys are going off into the real world and getting great jobs and wearing big championship rings and taking pictures with really big trophies and going to New Year's Six bowl games. That's pretty successful in my book.
I got to come back to the grill, Coach. Why the grill?
Well, the grill was a get to know you conversation piece that me and DeMarcus Ayers, we were getting honored as a new staff at a basketball game last February, around this time last year. We were walking to it, and I knew he was a good player for Houston the year before, so I just tried to get to know him a little bit, and we were walking and talking. I said, hey, T.A., you got a grill in, man. I didn't know those things were still cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the grills are awesome. You should get one. I laughed, obviously, very hard, and he said, and he goes, no, you should. And I said, well, I tell you what, D.A., if we win the conference championship, I'll get myself a grill. And he says, oh, are you serious? And he says, say that again. And he recorded it. And so he had it on video forever. And actually, I'd totally and completely forgotten about it. And I believe it was like Wednesday of the championship week, he kind of came up to me privately. He goes, Coach, you know what this week means, right? If we win this game. I said, no, he thought, yeah, we're going to be champs. He said, no, Coach, you got to get a grill.
That's the way these things work, right? That's how they come back
right.
to get
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he'd been holding on to that sucker for a long time. So we won the game, and I'm a man of my word. And so I figured if you're going to get a grill here in the city of Houston, why not have Paul Wall and TV Johnny Dang come and make a pretty neat spectacle of it. So, yeah, I'm a 40-year-old white guy with a diamond encrusted grill sitting on my coffee table here in my office.
I was going to say, so it's a coffee table, like a paperweight now? Is that?
No, it's actually in my ring box. So okay. I've got a bunch of my bowl rings and championship rings displayed, and it sits right next to all of those.
Cool.
Excellent. So speaking of DeMarcus Ayers, he threw one of, if not the most memorable touchdown pass of the Cougar season, and we have set up a little new segment called Show and Tell. And do you have the video in front of you loaded up?
I do.
All right. So before we get into it, so it was a double pass. This is against Navy. What do you remember about, well, first of all, what is the history of this specific play? Is this a play you've called before? When did you install the play? What is the history of this specific double pass?
Well, the history was one, that is kind of a staple of our offense, those quick bubble screens, and You know, that's kind of an extension of our run game. And if you're going to load the box to try to take away the run, then we feel like we've got a pretty dynamic player out there in DeMarcus Ayers, and really who's ever played our slot position. You know, we feel like we can flick the ball out there to them and let them go make yards. And so that was, you know, that's where the first part of that comes. The second part is we knew that Navy was extremely aggressive against teams that tried to do that against them in terms of their support. So they were going to stop the run from the inside out and then just be ultra aggressive with their corners and safeties to stop that perimeter bubble screen game. And so I had never done that. I'd thrown kind of a bubble and go to the outside receiver before. We've thrown, reverse passes, stuff like that. But I didn't quite know how to make a double pass work from the shotgun. And so by motioning him out of the backfield, we kind of disguised the fact that he was deeper than the quarterback so that the first throw would be a lateral to him. And then sure enough, the Navy defense was ultra aggressive in the way that we had seen them throughout the game and on videotape. And they overcommitted to the throw, and DeMarcus caught the first one and laid out a nice throw to Linnell Bonner.
Were you definitely going to call this play after installing it that week, or was it a situational thing / what do you remember about that situation?
We were going to try like heck to call it. Yeah. It was actually, we practiced it mostly from the left hash because DeMarcus is a right-handed QB. We thought, you know, leading him on the right shoulder, or DeMarcus, the right-hand thrower. But we'd kind of gotten in that situation. We hadn't called it yet. It was a bit later in the game. We had let momentum slip a little bit. We knew we needed to score some points. And that part of the field is what our defense kind of calls the fun zone, kind of from the plus 25 to the plus 45. You kind of know, hey, when you start getting closer to the red zone, the tight red zone, that actually gets a little bit harder to score touchdowns in there because the field gets compacted. So you'll see a lot of offenses in that kind of area throw out the trick plays, the gadgets, if you will, to try to create explosive plays and score from that distance out. And we're very similar. We're going to try to manufacture explosive plays, and that was the one that came to mind at that point.
Did you see anything from the Navy defense? And you've spoken obviously about how they showed very aggressive looks, but a number of coaches have spoken about seeing exactly what they wanted and knowing a play like that would work even before the snap. Was there anything that tipped you off and gave you confidence before the ball was even snapped?
Well, we had thrown the bubble screen a couple different times out there, as like we talked about, as an extension to our run game, and
right.
They had done a really nice job, not necessarily blowing it up, but making it very difficult for our perimeter guys to block them and kind of hemming us in a little bit for, you know, 3, 4, 5 yard gains. And so we kind of figured, you know, after they had done that a few times, that okay, we'd set the bait pretty good and made them feel pretty good about the way they were supporting the bubble, that this was the right time to call it.
Looking back, obviously you got six, you got the intended result, but how would you grade the execution?
Maybe a C plus. You know, the throw from Greg was actually the worst part of the play. You know, in terms of, you know, he kind of halfway bobbled the snap, and you know, the clock was running down a little bit, and then. But from DeMarcus and Linnell, I it was definitely an A. But Greg kind of brought the grade down a little bit because he let the clock run down and kind of got us a little panicked there at the beginning of the play.
Has this inspired you to install more plays like this?
Well, we threw a reverse pass with DeMarcus in the Peach Bowl against Florida State, and he threw a touchdown pass to Chance Allen. So yeah, DeMarcus went 2 for 2in the three biggest games at the end of the year for us with 2 touchdowns. So if we've got a guy that can throw it, yeah, I think anytime that you can have a ball carrier be a threat to throw the football, you you force the defense to play a little bit more honestly.
All right. Well, on the topic then of smart coaches calling smart plays at the exact correct time, I understand that you are a Mensa member. Is that correct?
It is. Yes.
So we need to know more about this. What is the test like? Are you able to talk about your test score? What exactly is Mensa? How does that relate to like a normal IQ test?
That and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee in my profession. So it's I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of Tom Herman's path to Mensa. I was coming out of college, not quite sure that I wanted to be a coach, and my mom had suggested, "Hey, you know, you were in some gifted and talented programs in grade school, and there's this organization out there for whatever high IQ people, and you might want to think about taking the test. And if you qualify, it'd be something that probably looks good on a resume." So I did it, and I put it on my resume. And sports information directors, being the lazy SOBs that they are, just when you get your first job in athletics, they just take your resume and turn that into a bio, and without you knowing it. And so the next thing you know, I've got it on my web bio for a couple of different jobs that I was at, and it's followed me around like a dang albatross ever since. So it's certainly something, you know, I mean, I didn't work for it. It's genetics. You know, I got my mom and dad to thank for it. So it's something that, although it's kind of nice to, again, have on a resume, nice conversation piece, I don't know that it does much for me in my profession.
Ty, it's just another very bright San Fernando Valley gentleman.
No, that's all there it is.
There it is.
That's all it is. It's just another Valley smart Valley guy.
Class of 93, baby. Yes.
There exactly. It is. He's a Lou Dog, Ty.
And a Lou Dog, exactly. Class of 97, Cal Lutheran.
Boom. Final question. We've asked this of a number of coaches, especially newer coaches, but you've been in Houston for a year. What has been the best meal you've had out, so you can't say at home, out in the greater Houston area?
Fajitas at El Tiempo.
We're talking chicken, steak, shrimp?
Steak, steak. No, steak. Steak always for me. Medium rare. I mean, it's sirloin. Their fajitas are sirloin. It's phenomenal. And there's some really good fajita places, some really good barbecue places. But if you had to pin me down and pick one, I'm a big Mexican food guy, and especially living in the Midwest the last 6 years, where it's tough to get really good Mexican food to yep. come back here to Texas and have some unbelievable fajitas. It's it definitely is very nice to the palate.
All right, there you have it, Coach Tom Herman, medium rare, likes a steak medium rare. Good luck to you.
Exactly.
In 2016, we wish you nothing but the best. It's been fun to watch Houston, and certainly you as a coach. Thanks for all your time.
All right, guys. Thanks. Go Cougs.
All right. Again, that is Tom Herman. He's head football coach at the University of Houston, Dan.
Yes.
I really liked that show and tell segment. That was cool.
You like that? As did I. And we're going to do some cool things with it. I think we're going to take that audio, and we actually got the coach's tape from Houston.
Cool.
So we're going to sort of marry Coach Herman talking about the play itself over footage of the play, just to see what he's talking about. Because, you know, as diehard as a lot of the listeners are, I don't know that they remember every single play that happened with every single team this past year. So that was very cool. I'm wondering who he was referring to as courageless in talking about rumors about where he might be looking. I want to know names. He did not name names.
Well, you know, the question is always, at least from my standpoint, when rumors come out, when a coach is rumored to be going elsewhere, is that something that opposing coaches are going to use on the recruiting trail? Was Houston perceived as a big enough threat when all of these rumors were circulating that other coaches would even think to use it in terms of negative recruiting? So maybe we didn't get to that, but that's always something that comes to mind when you start talking about coaching rumors. And of course, the joke, if you just read Twitter for 5 minutes, certainly amid Houston's success, the joke was that Tom Herman was basically Scrooge McDuck swimming in a sea of gold coins with how well he did in his first season. Again, 13 wins, not too shabby. So I like the fact that he calls it as he sees it. He doesn't pull any punches. I thought he was very honest. I appreciate getting more details about the grill because I've always wondered about how that's going to go. So I appreciate him stopping by and giving us his time and his insight and his strategic decisions on that pass.
Here's the question, Ty. And I mean this with the best of intentions.
Yes, please.
With a coach who is obviously in demand and probably will remain in demand, especially in Texas where college football is so public and receives so much attention. Will Tom Herman coach Kyle Allen? Which is to say, Kyle Allen sitting out the 2016 season.
Right.
Will he coach him?
Will he coach him on the field is the question.
Yes. Yeah. During a game.
Wow. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. You think he's got two more years at Houston?
I'm going to say two more years at Houston.
I hope he does. I always, like, there is a certain look down on smaller programs succeeding when so many big programs spend so much more money and play on a certain stage. But, man, it'd be fun to see him stick around and, you know, continue to build Houston. Maybe Houston ends up in a bigger conference, the Big 12.
Sure.
The SEC, who even knows? The Big 10, well, but... it'd be a cool story. I'd like to see it. With the amount of uncertainty in that general geographic area, Texas, Texas A&M, LSU.
LSU is the one program to me that, depending on how it goes in 2016, doesn't feel like they've made any major changes. Of course, they swapped out defensive coordinator, but defensive coordinator was never really their true problem. They need to find an offense. And if things come off the rails for Les Miles, we know how tenuous it was at the end of the year. That's a position that I think would be very intriguing if you are a coaching commodity. Otherwise, though, we know he likes that part of the country in terms of coaching. As he said, he spent a large chunk of his adult life down there in the state of Texas and in that general vicinity. I'd imagine if he continues to have the success we've seen in 1 year, he's going to be able to have his pick of the proverbial litter. So from that standpoint, if LSU or a big job like that isn't open, it would behoove him to just wait, keep winning games, keep recruiting like crazy at Houston, and find the job that suits him and where he's most comfortable.
Yeah, there's also the elephant or the Buckeye in the room.
Yeah.
Where?
Sure.
You don't know. You don't know how long Urban will be at Ohio State. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's a great story all around. And on the note of a clearly uncomfortable Tom Herman talking about his Mensa status.
Yes.
I have arranged, I found a trivia quiz online.
Oh, no.
It's not a logic quiz because okay. a lot of those are very visual. And this is obviously a non-visual medium. But okay. I figured I'd start easy with you.
Oh, geez.
I have 8 sixth grade trivia questions. And I feel like if you nail these, Ty,
yeah,
you are on a Mensa path.
Oh God. Okay.
Do we even have the game show music available?
I guess you can here we go.
Throw it in post.
There you go, right here.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just for
it's
you.
All about having the texture, Ty. I appreciate it. First question.
Yes.
Who were the two American faces to appear on United States coins? Granted, not currency, coins. That were not U.S. presidents. First two American faces to appear on United States coins that were not presidents.
Susan B. Anthony.
Correct. Suba.
I think would be one of them. And the Sacagawea count?
It would if she were one of the first two. Ben Franklin.
Oh, Ben Franklin. Okay.
Ben Franklin I was looking for. But that's pretty good. Good Suba pull early.
Okay.
Name three of the 5 layers of the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, gosh. There is a stratosphere.
Correct. Ding.
There's a troposphere.
Correct. Ding.
And I believe outer space is like the... What's it called?
You are a big space fan, Ty. Don't let me down.
Exosphere?
Exosphere is correct. Ding. 3 of the 5. You know, do you want to take a stab at the other two, or are you just happy to take the 3?
There's a mesosphere in there, and I can't think of the, I don't know what the 4th is.
Thermosphere.
Okay. Who could forget the thermosphere?
The Statue of Liberty holds her torch in which hand?
Oh, man.
Which hand? Lifelong nor'easter.
Yeah, I think she's holding the tablet in her left and the torch in her right, I believe.
Torch is in the right hand. Ding. Okay, Ty, you're on a heater.
I can pass sixth grade.
We're only three in.
Okay.
What tool is used to measure air pressure?
Oh my God.
Timely question.
I've only ever known it as an air pressure gauge.
What tool is used to measure air pressure? And you are going to feel silly.
Is it a barometer?
Barometer is correct because you just said barometer in our interview.
Yeah, okay.
With Tom Herman.
Okay.
Which of the 50 states borders only one other state? Name its border state as well. I'm listening very closely. I do not hear keyboard tapping for Ty cheating. So
no, I'm not
that's
cheating.
That's good.
I'm not cheating. Is it Maine?
It is Maine. What state does Maine border?
New Hampshire.
Correct.
Yes.
Do you know the state nickname for New Hampshire?
The Granite State.
That's correct. Okay. I appreciate the confidence in that one. Delaware and Georgia were two of the original 13 colonies. True or false?
I know Delaware was one of them.
I think Delaware was the first state.
Yeah. Georgia, I believe, they might have been number 13.
Georgia was, in fact, one of the original 13.
Yeah. Okay.
What a heater. What percent, and this is roughly speaking, Ty, I will gauge, but roughly speaking, of the Earth's water can be used for drinking?
Drinkable
water. What percent of the Earth's water can be used for drinking?
Oh, my gosh.
If you give, I'm gonna reward a general range.
Well, it's like 80% water, right?
I believe the Earth is covered. I think it's 70% water.
Yeah, 80 or 70%. Most of it's seawater.
Hmm.
Ready
for drinking.
Let's say 5%.
I'm not going to give it to you.
No.
It's under 1%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Under 1%.
That's not good.
That's not ideal. No, not ideal.
All right.
Final question.
Yes.
James and the Giant Peach and Matilda are two well-known books. By whom? By what author?
Ooh, I know James and the Peach, James and the Giant Peach. Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl is correct.
I have it here on a bookshelf. This is my old childhood.
I believe you.
So
I believe you.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Wow. I think you did better than Ryan Nanny.
All right. Well, next time I'll ask you.
Congratulations. Listen, that was great.
Thank you.
So how was your school breakdown of... Like, how many math classes were in, like, the fifth grade?
Oh, I don't know. I'm terrible at math, though. Math is not my thing.
No, but, like, how many... Was there, like, low, medium, high, and, like, a pull-out math? Did you have that?
You know, I don't remember until, like, seventh grade. Seventh grade is when there used to be, like,
was there pull-out math in seventh?
Yeah, there used to be, like, a higher math starting in, like, seventh grade.
Okay.
And I stayed on that track until about... 11th, and then I backed away. Then I backed away. Okay. Once he got to like the trigonometry and stuff like that, I sort of eased off the gas a little bit. But
so I think we had like regular and high, and those were like full classrooms.
Yeah.
And then there was like the special, like pull out.
No,
these six kids are like two grades ahead.
Yeah.
No, Camera Guy Dave was in that, by the way.
Oh wow. No,
Camera Guy Dave was in that.
Math was not my thing.
Not same here.
Yeah.
But. In the second grade, I was particularly good at math, apparently.
Yeah.
This is what I'm told, in second grade. And I was asked to and went to the pullout, like the four, five, six, however many kids. It was like, we think, and at that point I was Danny, we think he is ready for this. And 2 weeks later, they decided, well, no, in fact, Danny was not ready. Danny is not ready for pullout. Danny is good with high. He's not extraordinary.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, that was my history with advanced math. And then, I was always like good, but not great. High school, I tried it again, 10th grade, and just very quickly went back to the regular.
Yeah. So, I was a regular math guy.
Yeah. That's my story.
No harm in that, Dan.
I mean, I was on game shows though. So trivia wise, I was very successful.
All right. Well, next time around, I'm going to do, I'll do sixth grade trivia for you.
All right. Fair. Let's wrap this up with one final, just completely uneducated guess. You ready?
Sir. Yeah.
I'm going to give you Houston's schedule for 2016.
Yeah.
You ready?
I am.
As we have spoken about, they open with Oklahoma in a de facto home game at the NERG.
Yep.
An Oklahoma that returns a lot on offense, not a couple of huge playmakers, but a good amount. Sure. And then it's Lamar.
Yep.
At Cincinnati, at Texas State, UConn, who they did lose to last season.
Sure.
They go to Navy, no Keenan Reynolds. Tulsa, good, but lost their offensive coordinator and I think their quarterback. They go to SMU, not a great year this past season with Chad Morris's first year. UCF, certainly not a good
speaking of not great
2015.
Years.
They're off. They have Tulane with Willie Fritz, new head coach. They have Louisville at home, who should be good.
Sure.
And they go to Memphis, granted, a new starting quarterback, but by then it's Thanksgiving weekend, so it's not, he won't be new, whoever it is. But they played very well against Memphis last year. And then possibly the AAC championship game.
Yeah.
If that's not a post, if they beat Oklahoma, that is one of the most just be cool seasons.
Yeah. Well, pretty
much. Everybody needs to be so cool. And I know Coach Herman's very bullish on the fact that the AAC definitely took a step in the right direction this past year. But they need Louisville to be awesome.
Well, look, if you lose any of those games in there between Oklahoma and Louisville, assuming you beat Oklahoma at right. the NERG, mm-hmm. if you lose to any of those teams in between Oklahoma and Louisville, the mm-hmm. AAC may have an elevated reputation after what occurred this past season. It does not have the reputation of the SEC. It doesn't even have the reputation of the ACC at this point. All right. You still need to win all those games. You're playing without a net there. So,
yes.
like you said, you beat Oklahoma. Yeah, just be cool. Louisville, I think, should be much better on offense, and that yes. should help them.
I really like Lamar Jackson.
This season, Lamar Jackson had a transformative bowl game, mm-hmm. and I would expect that he would certainly give Houston or whoever a run for their money. So there are a couple challenges on there, but I think the biggest are obviously of the non-conference variety. You look at the schedule, there aren't any of these teams, at least in my knowledge of the AAC, mm-hmm. that really frighten me. So I'm thinking 10-2 when I look at this.
10-2?
Yeah. I'm thinking
like, so they're losing to one of the two, Oklahoma, Louisville, and then wild other, Knights.
If I were picking now, I'd say Oklahoma. And I think they can beat Louisville,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure they will. I think there are a lot of points in that game regardless. So I'm saying 10-2. I'm not going to give them benefit of the doubt, even though they've been fun as hell to watch. And I will be rooting for them in both those games, but let's go 10-2.
All right. Yeah, I think 10-2, 11-1. I mean, the expectations should be high after what they did last season. Yep. And not only is Paxton Lynch gone, but Mack Brown's favorite head coach to say out loud, Justin Fuente
is gone as well.
Is off to Virginia Tech. So yeah. It sets up ideally for double-digit wins and perhaps not so ideally for just be cool status.
It sets up really well based on what I'm seeing here for a Houston-Temple AAC final game, to be honest with you. It's going to be those two teams again in the AAC.
Also, shout out to Houston for, I never would have thought we would spend an entire episode talking about Houston four, 5 years ago, and here we are.
Here we are. That's great. All right. Well, on that note, we do thank our friend Tom Herman for his second appearance here on the show. We have many other coaches that we're planning to interview, that we will interview, and that we'll post for you here in the long off season that is college football. Again, if you like the show, find us at solidverbal.com. We're also on mm-hmm. Facebook, fan cred, Twitter, Instagram, and most importantly on iTunes at itunes.com/solidverbal. For that guy over there, Mr. Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thanks again for tuning into the show. We'll catch you all next week. Stay solid.
Peace.